greet you all in Jesus' name. And we're again thankful to be here with you all here at Cornerstone. And when we come here, we think back again to your beginnings and the various things that happened here, and the church that was Seneca became Cornerstone. And I don't know if I can even put it all together, but anyhow, we do remember those people that came down to Wellsboro for, I guess, 2 years it was, and so that was the beginning of this. And it's a little bit like our relationship with the Lord, that if we keep walking, he'll find a way for us. And so we have the blessing of this congregation here. And we're thankful to be here this morning with you, and invite you to come down to Wellsboro again whenever the opportunity comes up, that you would come visit down there. For a message this morning, I was thinking of the title, Is There No Balm in Gilead? And it's a question that's asked in Jeremiah 8. Where in Jeremiah 8 in verse 22, and it's a time of Israel's sin. They were not obeying God. They were not walking after God. They were not walking with him. And Jeremiah was sent to preach to them. And in verse 22, there is a verse that says that, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? I should back up maybe and read verse 19. It gives the setting a little better, where it says, behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black, astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? It seems here that I believe there may be a prophecy in verse 21 of Jesus being hurt for the daughter of my people. But it's pleading with them. Why? It asks these questions. Isn't there no king there? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? No help. Can't somebody find some help? And it is, of course, pointing to their sin and the need they had of being healed. There's healing needed in people's lives. And even for us at times as Christians, it's so easy to become distracted and go off at an angle from where the Lord would have us and keep getting a little further and a little further away from God. And there's healing needed. There's forgiveness needed. Because an individual will become more and more inclined to destruction. His emotional experience, his spiritual life is all in sad need of repair. Well, the second setting of this balm in Gilead is Gilead was east of the Jordan River. occupied by the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh. And having been over there, I can about picture where it is. You have the Mediterranean Sea, you have Israel, and what almost seems the Jordan River going down through there. Israel had land on the other side of the Jordan. At this time, they don't have land on the east side of the Jordan, away from the Mediterranean. But in there is the Mound of Gilead. And in that area is where this Balm of Gilead comes from. Gilead was the father of Jephthah. Remember the man that made a vow and lost his daughter? Because of that vow. And he was of Gideon. Gilead, a descendant of Gideon, and then Jephthah. And this balm of Gilead was taken from a certain tree. One slash in the tree would give 3 to 4 drops of this balm of Gilead. And in one day, and it was worth double the price of silver. It was very valuable. It was wanted for its healing. And it was exceptionally good for healing, for other things. And there were also in this area of Gilead, there were more doctors or physicians that used this healing salve to heal people. And as we see the need that people need healing sometimes. You need to have some extra. You need to have something for pain and for healing. Not too long ago, I experienced where in the evening, I don't drink coffee in the evening. I like to sit down with a tea. And while I'm reading, I have it on the arm of my recliner. And it's all right handy there. Well, this time, I don't know what I'd done, but I superheated it. And I like it hot. And so while I was there, I dumped it right down my side here. And it was that hot, it felt cold. Now, I don't know if that makes sense, but that's the way it did. And I jumped up and tried to get my clothes away from it and all that, but I needed healing then. And what could we put on? I started with butter, then my wife, Nora, I think, come up that balm that we have that the Amish make for burnings. And so we plastered that on. And eventually the healing process began, but it was a large area red and a small area that is still sort of blistered. Well, I needed healing. And this is what this salve was for, healing. But the point that is being made to them here is the healing for their soul. They needed healing. And isn't there no way that we can find? And we think of that sometimes as we think of what this nation at one time was and the sin that is running rampant in today. It looks discouraging. We know there's a remedy, but we also see and know people aren't finding it, and they aren't wanting it even. And so the question is being asked here, is there no balm in Gilead? And more about this balm. In Genesis 35, Joseph's brethren cast him into a pit, and they sat down to eat bread, and a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, bearing spices and balm and myrrh to Egypt. It was traffic in this product. It was good, and so they took it long distance. This was the world probably knew about this healing and this myrrh. And in Israel, or Jacob, in Genesis 43:11, when they wanted to go down one more time and get food from Egypt, corn from Egypt, and Jacob was reluctant because he had lost Joseph, and they wanted Benjamin to be brought down. The king said Benjamin must come down, or the king Joseph as the king's servant. And so finally Jacob gave in, and he said, take this man a little balm, honey, spice, and nuts. Those were a gift to him. They were valuable. And so we see that balm was widespread usage. But there is a need for healing of the pandemic of sin. There we know about the pandemic that we had of COVID. But there's a pandemic of sin that is worse than that, because in which humanity begins to dabble in sin, even if they knew the Lord, and they begin to dabble in sin. And it just takes them further and further away from God. Then Jeremiah 1, 16 to 19 there, Jeremiah is called to do something about it. And it says, I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and a brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. The Lord gave him a promise, and we could go through the book of Jeremiah, the times he was put in the dungeon and many other things. But the Lord would make him a wall unto them. He was a prophet, but speaking the truth of God's word and of God. And he was going to he was going to tell them. And so that we need to be also usable of God, to be willing to speak up to him. Because there is a pandemic of sin. There's sin. Some people have a little bit of it. Some people seem pretty good, and yet there's some other inconsistency. Sin has a way of expanding in a person's life, and there needs to be a balm there. Looking at Jeremiah 8, we can see some of the problems that were there in verse 4. We see that, moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? There is a falling when people begin falling into sin. There's a downward course. When a person gives themselves to a little bit of sin, it's just going to get worse and worse until there becomes a rottenness within that only God can heal. And then he's works verse 5, it speaks of backsliding. The people of Jerusalem are slidden back. And I thought a little bit of that word backsliding. It would indicate that you're facing right, sort of. You're facing right, or you want to do right, but you just keep going back. You can't accomplish what you know in your heart you ought to be doing. And the need is there for power, which would come through Jesus Christ in a New Testament era. But they needed to get the power. The fear of God is what would have given them the power that they needed. But they stood more in awe of their idols and things like that rather than God's fear. And so there are other calamities that we can see in that. Verse 6 would speak of impenitence. They did not repent. They were not repenting of their wrong that they were doing. And they were supposed to be God's people, but there was no repentance there. And they were self-righteous. They in their mind, picked out the good things that they thought were exemplary in them and thought that that should satisfy God. But we need to come on God's terms. And they were they had no peace in verse 11. And they were slanderers. And it brought them into affliction. It's a picture of a people that are on a downward course, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And the needs that they have there, and until there is no human opportunity, there's no human remedy, and the opportunity is gone. The harvest is past, and we are not saved. Possibly there was no harvest taken in, but there seemed to be no remedy left anymore. Thinking a little bit about our need for healing, that we need healing when we have our affections on and where our God is material things. When we can only think and act and look to the material things of life to find satisfaction, that our affections would be on that rather than on God and our service to Him. There is some verses in Ephesians 4:25 would speak of not being... various needs that they had there. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Lying. Do we lie? And he was speaking to Christians here. You came into the Lord, but put away lying. There's a tendency for the old habits of life to come back in, even as we come to the Lord, to creep in. And that's why we need that constant relationship with the Lord, finding our help and our strength from Him. We need to constantly be looking for Him. That you're to put on the new man in verse 24 and put away lying and speak truth and be members one of another and be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And so those are challenges we face, that where we become uncontrolled or harboring anger, wrath it speaks of, that harboring anger instead of forgiving and letting those things that come into our life be received by us with thanksgiving and thanking the Lord for the good things He has given us. And trusting Him that for the issues that we face that are hard, that we would find the grace to help. And so we see about verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Don't make a path or a provision where you can back out and take the wrong course. Don't make a place where you can go wrong, but rather continue to follow Him. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hand the thing which is good, that may be have to give to him that needeth. He was speaking to Christians here. And so it would indicate maybe we need those kind of admonitions sometimes as well. It's so easy to have sticky fingers, and we think we are not doing that. But and don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, be careful with your tongue, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. When the Lord speaks, we are called on to respond to this. And so there is a need for healing at times. The challenge is that we would all let all bitterness, anger, clamor be put away, and be kind one to other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And so we may need healing at times from these things in our life and experience. And the question was asked there then, is there no physician there? There were more physicians in that area. Or what is wrong with all the opportunities that there were before them, with the salve that was there, with the physicians that were there? Why couldn't they find healing? Well, why can't people find healing in the spiritual sense as well, when there's such an abundance of help from the Lord here, if we cry unto him? So yes, Jesus is the physician. Luke 5:31 says, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And so the need is that we go to the physician, the doctor, that can supply us with our needs. Then he is also, he gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Hebrews 9:11-15 says, he is our high priest. We have a high priest that can be touched, Hebrews 3 would tell us, with the feelings of our infirmities. Hebrews 4, I think we have a physician, we have a balm, and we need to go to him for healing in our life and experience, because sin leaves an infection there. Sin is going to break our relationship with the Lord, and it's going to leave us in a frame of mind that it's hard to be peaceable, it's hard to be loving, it's hard to be tenderhearted if sin has been marring your heart and life. We have the woman that had an issue with blood, and she just touched the border or the hem of his garment. So Jesus is our qualified physician that we need to turn to for his remedies. And as we think of this, the third point we want to make is that we have been looking at the need that for healing, and the question of, is there no physician? Is there any help that we can find? And it's something we need to remember and remind ourselves and think about. We start to look and go around our problems and our issues and how unhappy we are. And hopefully we finally come to the place, is there no physician? Is there no healing? Is there nothing that can be done to change this situation? Well, guilt has a deadening effect on our emotional, has a deadening effect on our mental, it has a deadening effect on our total life more and more. So guilt is a cancer in our life. It's a disease that is there. The guilt, to carry that guilt. And there is one thing that's going to take care of that the Lord releases from guilt through mercy. Finally, it's the mercy of God that's going to bring us deliverance and freedom from the great guilt that lays upon us. that the balm that the physician uses is mercy, that balm of mercy. And I trust that most of us have found that experience of the deadening effect, the guilt that lays upon us, something we done wrong, or something, maybe it was a while, or maybe it's something recently, something that we may be hiding. Sometimes, sadly, we find sometimes there's people in the church that have some sin hidden and buried and keeping hidden from everybody. And it's very sad, but all that feeling of mercy, that it's cleaned up, it's straightened out. That I knew there was a story of a man many years ago. He was an EB. It was down in Lancaster County. And he went to church some, and I don't know if he was really a member, but he made some indications that he was a good man. But of course, spiritual people could sense, you know, that somehow it didn't permeate his life. It wasn't his life. His all, his service to the Lord, wasn't the main thing in his life. He put on a good front, a good show. But one day he found he has cancer, and he had to begin to think of eternity. And it brought a change in his life that changed him completely. He thought of his sin. He thought of where it's going to take him. And then he finally realized or believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was, is there no physician? Is there no remedy? I think must have went through his mind. And so finally he turned his heart over to the Lord. And his own testimony was that even the trees look different. He said, it's just that mercy of the Lord cleaned that infection out, cleaned that sin out, took care of his life, and he could find forgiveness through mercy, which established a relationship of God in healing. But it's the mercy of God is what we need. Yes, we need to sense the guilt. We need to understand the fear of God, and it's going to bring guilt in people's experience when there's sin there. And sometimes I wonder if there's an overdone on the part of Christians in trying to force people to feel guilty. And there's some of that is necessary, but do give them the remedy as with it, and that is the mercy that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That it's the remedy they need, the mercy they need, that the guilt that they carry, it needs to be, something needs to be done with that. And so just keep piling more guilt on and not show them what the remedy for that is not going to really help them. Although eventually the guilt may become so great that they may turn to the Lord Jesus themselves. So God is rich in mercy and love, and it's by his grace we are saved. That we have that in different times. Psalmist David said in 51:10, David was a man after God's own heart. And he was a man that had a relationship with God, but he done a great sin. And David, the prophet, came to him and pointed it out to him. And we have some psalms that David is just crying to God. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Do you sense his longing there? If only there would be a physician or a remedy for this. Well, there is a physician and there is a remedy. It's God's mercy. But we need to come to the place where we're ready to forsake the sin and the self and our own way. And so it takes a meeting experience with the Lord to know that we are saved. Some of the benefits in this experience then is to abide in Him. We can live in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that in John 15, abide in Him. And then it brings about a changed life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. There's a total new outlook on life, a total new goal in life when we bring that to the Lord. Even as Christians, we're tempted to get our priorities mixed. And our good works, our daily labors become an end in themselves, possibly. But the need is that we realize that it's only in our relationship with the Lord, and that's where the blessings are going to be found. It makes us joint heirs with Christ, that we have been adopted, Romans 8 tells us, into the family of God, whereby we can cry, Abba, Abba, Father, that He is a close relationship with us. We have peace and righteousness. These are the benefits that we have in turning to God and having this mercy, applied to us. 1 John 4:2 says, hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That 1 John brings that out quite a bit, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. He was the one that came down from glory. He was the one that was God and became man. And it was before His incarnation, He came down and became incarnate. And He is the one that died on the cross, making the way to God through Jesus Christ. There can be victory then in our experience. To walk and eat in the Spirit, and he shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. To walk in the Spirit, it indicates a reaching out in our own experience. Recently, I preached on Thanksgiving and I came across something that really impressed me, where it said Thanksgiving in our personal life is the vehicle that carries us through the circumstances of life. In every area of life, you can be thankful. You can glorify Him. You can praise His name in every situation and circumstance of life. And when you praise and glorify the Lord, it is the vehicle that's going to take you through experience of life, some that are even unpleasant, that it's going to help you to come through them. And so it's a great thing that we can have that relationship, and it's going to give us assurance from the Scriptures. There'll be assurances and promises in the Word of God, and this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And we can be thankful for that. The problem is Satan. The problem that turns is he delights in seeing people, especially Christians, go to their destruction. And so he is out to trip us however we can. He's out to turn us aside, to distract us from following the right way. It tells us in that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them that believe not, and to do nothing about it is to be lost. And so we have the thought yet that after the problem, today is the day of salvation. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In closing, I'll yet turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 30, it's a verse in there. In verse 17, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. It had come to the place where the God's people were despised. They were outcasts because their lives had not lived up to what they wanted to be or what they said they were. But the Lord, the physician, with his mercy, his balm of mercy, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds. Sin causes wounds. There's battles need to be fought with Satan. Sometimes Satan brings wounds in our experience. And the need is that we find the physician again. We find that balm that he has supplied for us. Let's kneel for prayer.